Welcome to Fueled by Grace. My name is Mark Shiver. Glad to have you listening once again to the podcast. And if this is your first time, welcome. And if you're a veteran listener, welcome back. If you've not had a chance to listen to Three Steps to Real Peace, I've had some good response. And if you or maybe someone you know is struggling with anxiety, depression, just heaviness, this podcast, Three Steps to Real Peace, could genuinely help them. So head on over in that direction if you need to, or if you need to steer someone that way. FueledByGrace.com, Three Steps to Real Peace, or you can find it at iTunes, of course. And by the way, before we get started, go ahead and subscribe at iTunes if you don't mind. That way you'll never miss an episode. We'd love to have you. I mentioned in Three Steps to Real Peace that we were going to be looking at Isaiah 53 a little bit further as we move along here, as we have relaunched the Fueled by Grace podcast. And we're going to continue with that today and talk about something that I believe is awesome. And it will change your life if you can just allow yourself to think differently and allow God to give you His thoughts. This is so powerful. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. And we're just going to start with verse 1. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. You know, a lot of times in this world, it's the people that are good looking, that are stately in their appearance or their form, they're majestic, that people are drawn to. Look at the presidents of the United States. They're not short, fat guys, and no offense to those people who are vertically challenged or maybe a little overweight, but they're normally taller, right? And they carry an air about them, a stately form, as it were. And so Jesus didn't have a stately form. He wasn't anything special to look at. In fact, listen to this. Verse 3, he was despised and forsaken of men. We talked about that in episode 1. He was despised. Folks, can you grasp the intensity of that word? Can you understand and feel what it must have felt like for Jesus Christ to have been despised, knowing that he was here to die for the very people who were despising him? He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Folks, listen, we are focused on the cross here at Easter time, and we should be, because the death of Jesus on that cross is the most significant event in history, because God placed the sins of the world on his Son, and he judged mankind completely and thoroughly and totally in his Son on the cross. But we cannot ignore what happened to him beforehand. We cannot ignore what he felt in his life. And for so long, I think we have ignored that. But God is saying today, for you, the listener, and for me, the one he has given this word to share powerfully, that Jesus was despised. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His heart was breaking as he lived on this earth. People were despising him. I just cannot imagine. You know, I went through my share of rejection in school, like we all have, and we all get rejected throughout our lives. But can you imagine being despised? Read this again. Like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Have you had anyone hide their face from you? You know, children can be so cruel, and if, particularly in the middle school, high school years, kid might have acne, and they call them zit face and that sort of thing. But they were hiding their face from the Son of God. Can you imagine? Stop and think about this. Allow this to get into your spirit, that Jesus himself was despised, and people were hiding their face from him. This man, the Bible says, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He gave his life. He poured his life out, not only on the cross, but every single day. Once he began his ministry, he poured his life out for those people that he was going to die for. And it says he was despised. Understand the depth of the love of God being manifested through his son, Jesus, and what he went through. And it just goes on. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, surely there's something wrong with this man. What in the world? This Jesus, surely he's stricken, smitten of God. Surely he's afflicted. But here's what I want us to see today. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And last time we learned that the chastisement that brings us peace was upon him. And it says, by his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. I'm telling you, and this might make you upset, but I hope that it does. I hope it causes a holy anger to rise up in those of you that are listening, that you would begin to question what you're hearing from the pulpit and reading and hearing on television. Folks, we are doing a great disservice to what Jesus went through. We are, in many cases, teaching that we can add to the gospel. We've got to live a certain way to stay right with God. Instead of accepting his sacrifice and the reality that it's his grace that leads us to repentance, it is his character being formed in us through being a new creation that will cause what we consider sin to fall off of our lives. But no, we preach, you've got to live this way. The Lord caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Jesus. And if you think for 1 minute that your lifestyle is better than someone else's, you have a long way to go in understanding what the gospel is. Because the gospel is that Jesus hung on a cross and God laid the iniquity of us all to fall on him. But not only that, he was pierced through for our transgressions. As if it weren't enough to die, he was pierced. He was pierced in his hands, he was pierced in his feet, and he was pierced in his head. Can you imagine having long thorns shoved into your head? Not inserted, but shoved into your head while people mocked you and called you King of the Jews. And yet we say, well, we've got to do this and do that because that will somehow make us okay with God. I believe that Jesus himself being pierced for our transgressions was quite enough. It's quite enough. He was crushed for our iniquities. Some translations say that he was bruised for our iniquities. Young's literal translation there uses the word bruised. Let's just talk about being bruised. By the way, Jesus was pierced ultimately with a sword in his side. And the Bible says blood and water came out. And medically, I've learned that that's when somebody's heart bursts. Jesus literally died of a broken heart. But let's talk about being bruised. Have you ever bumped your shin in the middle of the night? It's dark. You're trying to get a glass of water or go to the bathroom. Bang! You find that coffee table and it hurts. And the next day, it's starting to turn color, and all of a sudden in a day or so, you've got this big, ugly black or purple bruise, and if you touch it, it hurts. The Son of God was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. Sin. He was bruised for your sin and my sin. There's nothing I can do to add to that. If we would focus on what Jesus did instead of what we are doing, our lives would change and we would see the sins and things that we're trying to deal with and struggle with fall away We would see the power of God flow through our lives. Let me tell you something. The enemy of God, Satan, has very wisely inserted just a little bit of error into the truth. I mean, certainly you've got to tell people they can't live a lifestyle of sin. Well, who wants to live a lifestyle of sin if you're born again? But instead of teaching people how to do that, we continue in many and most churches across this land, and television evangelists and things that you read and things online and podcasts, they tell you, you got to get right. You got to fix your flesh. Well, how about this? We have been made new creations in Christ. And if we focus on the fact that he was pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, then we will grow strong in that new creation. That new creation will begin to flourish inside this body, and we will see the things that are not pleasing to God that happen in our flesh begin to change. But no, do you think Satan wants you concentrating on the goodness of God, the things of God, what God did, what Jesus went through? Absolutely not. He knows that's where the power is. He knows that if you and I begin to really get the mind of Christ and understand that he was pierced and despised and the pain that he suffered, bruised, beaten up. He didn't just bang his shin into a coffee table. He was beaten up for your sin and my sin. How dare we try to add to that? How dare we think so little of what Jesus went through and what Father God put his son through, allowed his son to go through, that we could think, yes, now you're born again and you're saved, but you've got to live this way. You've got to do this and that and this and this, and try to live a life that is a new life by living in the old life, trying to fix the old life that's messed up to begin with. God's not saving your flesh. He made you a new creation, and it is that new creation that you and I need to grow in. And yet Satan has come in and he's mixed this legalism, this mixture of law and grace, and what it's done is it's made for a church that is powerless. People ask, why don't we see the gifts of the Spirit in the church? The main reason is because there's no power, because nobody knows how to flow in that power, because they're so concentrated on their flesh trying to live right that they have no concept or understanding of what it is to live in the Spirit, where the power is. I'm telling you, God is changing that. I'm telling you today that God is moving across this earth and he is restoring the truth of the gospel. And it's time to let his ways, which are higher than our ways, get deep down into our spirits and stop trying to please him with our behavior, but instead please him because of what he did. Please him by believing.
Well, Mark, you're saying that anybody can just do whatever they want and sin is okay.
I've never said that, and I never will. I'm saying that by continuing to teach you that you can somehow live right is wrong. Because if you could live right, you wouldn't need a Savior to begin with. But it is by looking at and thinking about and meditating on and focusing on the finished work of Christ that real change will occur in your life and mine. During this Easter season, let's think about the fact that Jesus loved us so much that he was despised, he was pierced, he was bruised for our sins. He gave everything so that you and I could live. Wow, it's awesome. Next time, we're going to talk about what it means to be a new creation. I believe it's going to be powerful. God is stirring up revelation that I believe will change your life. Listen to this podcast several times
and begin to understand that it's not by looking at yourself and how good or how bad you are that you can become more like Jesus, but it's by realizing that you've been made a new creation and that God wants your attention to be on the fact that he was pierced and bruised and crucified and paid for all of your sins on that cross. And when he rose from the dead, he birthed a whole new creation, a whole new race. And that's where we need to live. God loves you so much, and he wants to release you from the bondage of legalism. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Until next time, remember, God loves you very, very much.